Cole, $324 million. Rendon, $245 million. Strasburg, $245 million. Moustakas got $64 million. Like, Moustakas, he sent a text to him. He's like, yeah, I'll get to you when I... And I'll let you know what you're taking. There's no negotiation.
$64 million.
You don't get FaceTime. You're over there.
That's crazy amount of money. $64 million, and that's at the bottom of the rung.
$878 million total in four players. Like, how much would Boris pull in there?
Well,
what would he get? Probably 1 or 2%.
I'd say 1%. Like, I know in hockey, it's 3% of the first million, and then 1% after that, and you can negotiate. Now, you know, depending on what agency you're with.
Okay, so $878 million. What's he pulling in? $8.78 million right there in 4 days on four
probably
players?
Probably a little bit more than that, but yeah.
Let's say he made $10 million this week.
Yeah.
Just $10 million
now,
this
week. His agency, yeah, for
sure. With more players still coming.
Yep.
Wow.
Agents make a lot of money.
Yeah.
They do a good job. Like, this guy does a great job. Like, flat out.
You can hate on him all you want, but the guy, there's a reason Gerrit Cole, 5 minutes after the World Series was handed out, he had a Boris Corporation hat on.
Yeah.
Not a Houston Astros hat, not a Gerrit Cole hat.
No, it was
a Boris Corporation.
Yeah, call this guy.
Basically, hey, Cashman, Steinbrenners, New York.
Call me Al.
You can call me Al.
Agreed. Agents make
you can call me money. Whatever you want. You want to hand me $324 million? And we were talking about it yesterday with Phillips. $50 grand bonus if he makes the All-Star game. Can you imagine the audacity of saying, oh, and just for the record, the All-Star bonus is
I got to be honest with you. If I was a GM, that's a deal breaker for me. If I'm giving you $325 and you ask for $50K to go to an All-Star game, shove it. I'm not giving it to you. It's honestly a deal breaker.
What if you heard, like, okay, here, just we got Ray, but... What if you heard the Blue Jays were like, yeah, we gave him $324, but he wanted a $50K bonus for the All-Star game.
Would you appreciate that?
And you said, what? No.
If Shapiro said, $324 over 9, we'll give it to you, but no 50, and that's why he went to the Yankees.
I'll take it. I'll salute you.
Get your damn act together.
That's a flat-out, bold-faced lie.
No.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, did you ever have any bonuses in your deals in the 80s and 90s?
Yeah, sure. We had bonuses at 20, 30, 40 goals. Make the All-Star team, make the playoffs.
So how would those get negotiated? Like, was it just kind of standard procedure, or would you have to really fight for that?
Well, there was, I think, a pretty boilerplate set, you know, totals for each level of goals. But you had to negotiate them. Back then, you had to scratch and claw for $5 grand.
Right.
You know, so like it was a big deal to get. I remember one night in Long Island, we were out of the playoffs, and Derek King got his 30th goal. I got my 40th, and Steve Thomas out of left field got 4 and scored 30. And so we were all laughing because, well, of course, we were happy. We made bonus money, but the owners had to kick in about $60 grand, I think, or $70 grand for three donkeys that weren't making the playoffs anyway.
That's like, got to be the bonus. Yeah, you got. I mean, there's nothing you can do. But if you're an owner, you must be fuming.
You hear stories, Ray. I'm sure you can tell a few too, of guys that are, you know, one. I think O has one. You're one goal away from a $10,000 or $20,000 bonus, and all of a sudden you're a healthy scratch, or you know, you're not playing, or you're not on the power play. Like, you know that the owner has gone to the GM, who's gone to the coach and said, like, we can't put this guy on the ice. I've had one scenario where I had games played in that, and I was told, we need to change that or you will not be playing any more games this year. It's crazy.
That is so greasy.
Yeah.
But now you can't change the contract, right?
Right, so, right.
But back then, I mean, like, I don't know. They could go up to you, right, Noodles, and you're like, well, I don't really have a choice. I'd like to play again this year. It's March.
Well, yeah. I just wonder, like, with Gerrit Cole, like, back then, that was so much money. Not that it isn't today, but for you guys, you know, if you're making $150 grand on the year and you got $20 grand on the line, that's huge. It's
huge.
$50 grand.
And that's exactly the scenario, Brian.
Right.
Like, that's kind of the dollars that were in play. You're like, man, if I can get 2 more goals, I'm going to get $20 grand.
Yeah. That's life-changing at the time.
And
that's huge
telling
money.
And you're telling your line mates, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw Kevin Dineen, our last game in Hartford. He needed one goal for a $25,000 bonus. And Dino Ciccarelli was holding on to the crossbar. There was an empty net. And he stopped the shot with his skates together. And it was like, well, you had the biggest horror story ever. It's like, dude, just let it go in. Yeah. You suck. You're not making the playoffs. Neither are we. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Bonus, I don't know.
I'll give a positive story. We had six games left in the season, or five, and Joel Quenneville went on the plane and sent a note back with Al McGinnis. Anybody have any achievable bonuses? And let me know. You know, if it's ice time or if it's plus minus, you know, games played, all of that. And I didn't say a word, but I needed three games played out of the five. And I wasn't going to start three because Fierzy was going to play. And Pronger stood up to me and said to Al, like, well, Noodles needs three games. And I said, don't worry about it. And Joel heard about it. He goes, you'll get your three. And Grant was sitting beside me. He goes, don't worry, chum. You'll get your three.
No way.
And I got thrown in one game. Like, they threw, like, I got two starts and then got tossed in on one or
so
something.
So it was an appearance.
It was a period.
Bonus.
Games played in. I think I played in 30 that year, and I think it was a, you know, pretty decent bonus. I want to say it was, you know, 25 or 50K, something nice.
That's not bad back then, way. Man.
It's pretty cool.
Anytime. But that's Garrett Cole bonus money.
Yeah.
Like Cole's going to get 50 if he makes it to the
I think it was
to the All-Star game.
Like, hey, what about his agent?
Well,
so Scott Boras has negotiated, I think it's $878 million in contracts this summer, or this meetings.
Right.
This meetings.
Right. That's what got us on the conversation. We're just talking about it.
He's not even done yet.
And we thought he was making 1%. Apparently, he makes 5%.
Wow.
So he has personally made, or his corporation has earned, $40.7 million.
Amazing.
From three players, from Strasburg, Cole, and Rendon alone.
That's a good week. And he had Moustakas, too.
He had Moustakas, but he was at $64 million, so he doesn't care about that.
Yeah, that was peanuts. We'll knock that one off. $64 million.
An intern negotiates that. But they've got Keiko, they've got Ryu, they've got Castellanos. They still got some guys who are going to make some cake.
He's going to sign $1 billion in contracts.
Right.
Crazy.
Yep. And then next year, come back and complain because, you know, one of his clients will have to wait to make $300 million. And he'll rip into the Jays for some reason. It's always the Blue Jays'
wasn't
fault.
Wasn't he last year? He was on the collusion thing, right?
Oh, big time. Leading the charge. No collusion anymore, apparently.
No, it's all been fixed.
Yeah. Did you see that fight with Tom Wilson and Zdeno Chara last night?
Yeah. I don't care if Zdeno Chara is 57 years old. Like, that's got to be terrifying, no?
Yeah. I have more appreciation for Wilson, and the other guy will be 43 in a few months.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine squaring, and like Wilson can go, and he's, you know, of course, he's big and he's young, and you get in there and he looked like a child fighting.
And, well, Wilson, I think, started it with the cross check,
absolutely.
Did he not?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the play was going up ice, so it was kind of tough to tell.
Yeah, the camera panned back. That was two giant men going at it.
That is one of the bigger heavyweight fights of all time.
And you know what, though, Brian? Like, as much as fighting's gone out of the game, there was U.S. news outlets talking about it. Like, it was, you know, again, you know, we don't focus on it very much. A lot of, like, every sports show had it on as a highlight.
Oh, yeah. You think that's because of Chara, Ray? Like, who he is and his age, his size?
Well, yes, but also the size of the other guy, too. I mean, like, if someone's like, hey, Chara's fighting, and they look at it, it's like two brontosauruses fighting. Like, look, when they went back to the corner, look at these guys. Enormous guys. I'll tell you, I always looked at those guys. Like, today I walked in the rink, and I walked by Brian McGrath, and I'm like,
Beast
is a monster. He's so big. And I'm like, when those guys would fight, you'd sit there and you'd watch them fight and just, I don't know, I would have in my head, like, how do they do it?
And he loved it.
Oh, right? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I got to go tomorrow. You know, we know this guy's going to, and you're like, oh, no, thank you. I'll worry about getting a power play marker.
No
at some
kidding.
Point.
Crazy. You know what, when I saw that Chara and Wilson fight, did you see that I think Duthie on Twitter talked those two mooses fighting, yes, like locking horns, and the guy doing the play-by-play. That's all I could think of. It was that type of altercation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ma, there's two mooses or buffaloes or something. That was awesome. Yeah.
I think if you were to put, we should do this, calculate like the height and weight of those two last night. I think it'd be tough to find a bigger heavyweight in NHL history, like featuring two guys. Like Wilson, 6'5", 240, 230.
But like,
Chara, 6'8".
Well, but McSorley, yeah, McSorley, I was going to say, you go back in Semenko and Brashear. And
were they, yeah, but were,
yeah, they were.
They were 6'5", 240, I guess. They were Wilson. Who was Chara?
Ben Wilson. Do you remember Ben Wilson, Ray?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
These guys, like you go and shake some of these guys, like that Frank Mahovlich and like guys like that are scouts nowadays.
Yeah.
Pat Quinn, like think of how big Pat Quinn was.
I know, but Pat was like 6'3". I'm not downplaying the size of these other guys. I guess what I'm saying is in 2019, you wouldn't expect.
You're right.
Like two monsters.
And chiseled, like Tom Wilson is a huge man.
Well, remember the clip when he was playing against San Jose over the weekend, and Thornton's like, you wouldn't fight Kane, and he's like, you don't think I'd fight Kane?
Yeah.
Like, watch this. I'm playing Boston in a few days.
Yeah.
Like, if you fight Char, you're fighting anybody in the league.
Yeah.
Wilson would fight anybody.
And I just agree. Think he's 43.
Yep.
Yeah. And had enough, too. Like, I love the fact. Like, Chara, that's a leader. Like, I'm gonna do it myself here. I don't need David Backus to come in here or anybody else. Like, I take exception. That was an emotional fight. That wasn't a staged fight. He didn't like what Wilson did to him, so he took care of it himself.
Yep.
Now, don't forget, last year, that guy played with a broken jaw in the finals.
That is true.
Like, I don't know. I was half expecting him to have one of those strings that went around the top of his head under his jaw and just tied it all together.
Yeah.
And he came out there and they had the cage on him, and you're like, I don't know, man. The guy is an incredible, incredible specimen.
Leafs in Calgary tonight. You're calling that game on TSN 4. You look at the stats since Sheldon Keefe has taken over, and you always assign the power play and the penalty kill to the
right.
assistant coaches.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe it's a coincidence. I would assume it's that they're changing things up. But their power play and PK, I believe, over that 9-game run is, like, the best in the league for both. Like, they're off the charts. I mean, it's not going to continue at that rate, but it's been really impressive.
Well, a couple of changes they did make. Of course, Barry went on to the power play, but if you get a load of what's happening on the power play is they start in the same positions. Like, they'll start in an area, and as they rotate, it's really fluid, and Marner's ending up at the very top. Like, he's in the quarterback spot, and Barry's shooting the one-timer off one side, and Matthews is on the other. Tavares will move down and move up. It's like they're all over the place. It's really difficult to try and get a handle on if you're a penalty killer. And the biggest change I see penalty killing is they're way more aggressive. Like, they're on the hunt up the ice. They deny the line more aggressively. And it's, I think they've given up two power play goals in the 9 games since Keefe took over. And it's a pretty noticeable change in aggression, under Keefe, I would say.
How would you compare the city of Calgary to the city of Vancouver anticipating a Leaf game?
Well, Calgary's a little different. I mean, Vancouver, it's like there's a, you know, like you feel it everywhere. I mean, like, I'm not, you know, I wasn't listening to the radio this morning, or I'm assuming that the Leafs out here is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere in the West. I think people here are really interested in, you know, A, in the Leafs, but B, because the Flames haven't lost since Jeff Ward's taken over. Like, you got two teams that are playing really, really good, and it's exciting. It's like, you know, look, it's an early December game, but it's exciting. And so I would say you'll see a more than a smattering of Leaf fans in there tonight, but this should be, Calgary can be a quiet building. This should be a pretty good atmosphere, I would say. Calgary's quieter. Vancouver is usually quiet. I thought that building was pretty loud. Oh, you were right, by the way. There were 600 tickets for sale.
Oh, really?
Unsold.
So it wasn't sold out.
No.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah, it didn't look. I just didn't look it.
Harry Crumb over here.
Yeah.
Picking off 600 people.
Harry Crumb.
When Harry Crumb, John Candy, for those that don't know, got into the jockey silk.
Yes. He tried to go in the phone booth.
And they're all those mini phone booths. Oh, man.
The best look.
Sorry, last night I turn on the TV. I'm like, okay, what am I going to watch? And I'm going through the guide. And I see Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, that's a must. Yeah.
And so I stop, and right when it comes back from commercial, it's the scene, either just dropping him off at the rental car spot where he looks at, I think it's J5, and there's no car.
Yeah.
And so that's where I picked the movie up. And and he's giving it to that the lady behind the desk. She's going, gobble, gobble.
Oh, yeah.
He just loses it on her.
It's so good. Like, yeah. I saw someone posted, Roger Ebert wrote a review, but like years beyond, like it wasn't the immediate review. I think it was out of 4 stars. He gave it 3.5 out of 4 at the time. But he wrote this review 10, 15 years later saying, you know, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, truly one of the great cinematic features in history, and just you got to find it. I'll try to find it and send it to you. But he puts it on a line with Candy and Martin so perfectly.
Yeah,
you know how well they were cast, how perfectly the
Del
character
Griffith.
Development was.
Shower, what was he? Shower ring,
salesman. Shower curtain ring division.
Yeah, just like, owning it.
I that was
so good.
It's such a great movie. Like it is, and there's so many classic lines. Obviously, you can't repeat them on the radio when he's giving it to the lady. Wipe that effing smile off your rosy effing face.
Well, I don't know if you remember, he goes out and he needs a taxi because he doesn't have a rental car. And he says to the guy, I need a taxi. I'm going to Chicago. He goes, you know you're in St. Louis. He's like, wipe that smug grin off your... And the guy drills him in the face.
Yeah.
And then John Candy almost runs him over.
He says,
and so he goes, you apologize to him and help him up. And he picks him up by
his junk.
He's like, oh, I've never seen a guy get picked up by schnutz before.
Oh, my God.
He's
standing
best.
Over top of him. He's like, I almost squashed your head like a melon. Like, it just, if you look at it's line after line classics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a John Hughes movie, I think.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah, there you go.
You're deep into that.
No, I'm knocking off Harry Crumb references. I'm sure in 2019, those are very relevant. A lot of people that would follow along with that. Anyway, last night, Peter DeBoer let go in San Jose. And, you know, it says something about what we're dealing with in the NHL that people have to get out in front of it. And they're like, no, 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 it's because of hockey. They can't win games. Like, that's why he was let go. This isn't about abuse. This isn't about anything else. But DeBoer's had a great run there in San Jose. You know, he'll get back into the game at some point. But
yeah,
this kind of feels similar to the Babcock situation, the Berube situation. Like, they feel they got a better team than this. They've invested in a lot of players, and they want to salvage a season.
Well, I think what it also... First of all, I think Pete DeBoer is a good coach. I think he's... You know, you hear from other people around, he's highly regarded, the way his teams play, the way that people play for him. You cannot erase substandard goaltending, no matter how good a coach you are. Last year, they had the worst goaltending save percentage in the league, or second worst, and they were in the Western Conference Finals. Like, that's astounding how he was able to do that. This year, you look at their roster, and they've got two 40-year-old forwards, and they're not going to be what they used to be. You know, they had to let Joe Pavelski go. That hurts their power play. They altered the whole chemistry of... They're not the chemistry. They altered their whole salary structure with signing Evander Kane and then Erik Karlsson. So it's a team in transition that quietly for 20 years has been remarkably competitive and effective.
Sorry to interrupt, Ray. Go ahead.
So I was just going to say, I think the time has come in San Jose where they've got some giant hurdles to go through, and maybe they think, you know what, we got to change the messenger here. Maybe that'll help, because you can't change the players now.
No, and I guess when I heard of it yesterday, I understood it, didn't have a problem with it, but at what point is Doug Wilson going to be, like, this guy's been there a long time, and yes, they've had a lot of success, but they haven't won a cup. Like, you know, I think the owner is quite content with his body of work. But at some point, would the owner not go, okay, well, hold on a second here. Vegas was a first-year team. I'm looking at, like...
Yeah, you just gave Carlson $11 million.
Yeah, you've got a lot of bullets, and you've used them. But at some point, eventually, Wilson's time's going to come up, too. It just seems like
he's been the GM there for as long as I can remember.
Has he been there 20 years? Like, I'll have to look.
Close, I mean...
But...
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
He's quietly done an unbelievable job.
I think so, too.
But I'm sure there will come a time where they say, you know what, we need a new set of eyes on this.
Right. That's kind of, I guess, my point was, at some point, you know, his bullets will dry up because they say, okay, you can't switch the coach anymore. You know, your roster hasn't been good enough. Or, you know, you put all your eggs in Martin Jones' basket, and that's, you know, that's been a struggle. Or you gave Eric Carlson that money or this and that. Like, at some point, he may either have to blow it up or turn it over, but he must be intertwined with the owner,
well,
obviously.
How about David Poile in Nashville? The two of them have been there forever. Poile, I don't think there's been another GM.
No,
other than
Poile
David
was
Poile.
The first day general manager.
Right.
And before that, he did, 17 years or something in Washington. Poile's been a GM for like 35 years in
right.
this league.
Yeah.
And he's been a good GM, but never won a cup.
But San Jose's interesting because they, you know, I thought the window was closed, and then they got all the way to the semifinal, or, you know, to the conference finals last year.
Right.
And they kind of got, you know, they did catch, you know, pretty enormous break, and they took advantage of it in the series against Vegas. But it seemed like they're getting thinner and thinner slowly and slowly there. Right. And,
right.
You know, and so now you lose Pavelski, and, you know, Couture steps up. Sure, that's great, but how do you replace 35 goals? Well, you hope Kane can do some of it. You better, because you paid him a lot of money, and, you know, they've got so much money tied up in Vlasic, Burns, and Carlson. Things do have to change there. They've got to change their approach a bit, I guess, but how do you change it when you've got so much money locked up in so few players?
Yeah, that's the conundrum you're dealing with right now.
17 years.
You've been there for 17 years
since
as a GM. That's a good run. All right, buddy, we'll catch you on TSN4 tonight. Leafs Flames should be a fun one.
And last hit for for 2019 tomorrow.
All right, then you're off to the Czech Republic, right?
Yeah, unless I miss the flight, but yes, that's the goal.
Okay. Well, good luck. We'll do the whole year in review tomorrow.
Me and Ray will be on assignment for the next month.
Oh, I can't believe you're in. What were you 5-6 hours at it today?
Well, I had to meet with Mark Masters and Bobby and just do a little debriefing on what's been going on.
Who won that game last night?
Yeah, I can't wait to call.
Canada.
They played.
That is correct.
Inner squad game.
That's the answer right there.
Yeah.
Split squad goalies, all the goalies played.
That's a pro's answer right now.
Yeah.
That's a veteran answer.
Can't wait.
At least I didn't say Lafreniere. Looking forward to seeing him in the World Juniors.
He was buzzing around last night.
Looked great last night.
Yeah.
He played last year.
Well, that was true. I did that a couple of weeks ago.
I had to correct you.
Yeah. Well, that's why you're the expert, man. I'm not on the panel for the World Juniors. I just watch as a fan. It's not my thing. All right, buddy.
Yeah, well, we'll work at it tomorrow. Fill us in tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll do a year-end review tomorrow, Ray, and see what your thoughts are.
I will. I'll get on it. I know you'll have some in-depth stuff. And Hayes, you know, Noodles is always prepared. You just try and keep up, Hayes.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Yeah,
I'll make sure the mic is on.
There we go. That's why you're the host.
Yeah, that's why I get paid the big bucks around here. Make sure the mic is on. All right, buddy.
Later.
Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For all of December, receive a $500 Vaughn Mills gift card when you purchase or lease any new in-stock vehicle. Maple Toyota, right next to Wonderland.